You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
Lord, how many of you guys know that victory looks like being able to shout the name of Jesus? That no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what you're contending for, and I know that this body is contending for a lot in this season, but the ability to stand before the throne room of God and declare that he is good is victorious. That's how we usher in victory in our lives. That's how we usher in victory into our circumstances. That's how we contend for our loved ones. We stand before the mercy seat of God and declare that God is good. So, Father, this morning we declare that you are good. That you are worthy of all of our praise. That there is no other name, no other king. That you are the worthy one. Father, you are worthy this morning. We declare that you are worthy. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, God. We stand in the place of victory and declare that you are worthy, God. And so every person that we are contending for their salvation, for their healing, for their breakthrough, Lord, we stand in that place and declare that you, God, are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That you have a plan, that you have a destiny, Father God. And we declare that you are good. You are good. You are worthy. That is our victory. You are good. You are worthy, Lord. So, Father, this morning, that is our battle cry, Lord. That is where we stand in victory. The goodness of God. That joy is our strength, that we are ruled by peace. Thank you, Lord, that in praise and worship, as you're lifted up, Father God, we create an atmosphere for miracles. As we continue to contend for signs and wonders, Lord, we turn our eyes to heaven. We look to the King of Kings with thanksgiving and praise on our lips. And we lift your name this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for every opportunity that we have to declare your goodness, for every opportunity that we have to contend for your presence. And we just step into that this morning. Father, I ask that you would continue to move through this morning, that you would take every testimony that we've heard leading up to this moment and every testimony that we're going to hear throughout the rest of this service, Father God, and that would become the bedrock of what we stand on, your promises. We would see the testimonies of you moving on this earth, and we would take those testimonies and we use them as the anchors, Father God, of what we continue to contend for. So, Lord, we just pray that your anointing would continue to pour out through this time. Father, we thank you that you've brought the entire team back, that we are here. Lord, that we have come through a week of thanksgiving as a nation, Father. And as a body, we continue to carry that theme of thanksgiving throughout our lives. So, Father, we bless this time. We bless the rest of this service. And we just say, continue to come, Holy Spirit, and pour out in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Everybody's celebrating. Amen. Look at that. Amen. All right.
The team is back.
Hey, the team is back. Did anybody notice there's some of us here in matching outfits? I happen to be one of them. So these outfits were made for us with love by Mama Vera. In Ghana. So she tries to make its outfits every year, and it's an expression of love, and it takes her time and effort. She was with us the whole trip, so it was extra effort for her to take measurements and get these done. So we wanted to wear them in honor of Mama Vera. So, woohoo! So we are going to be sharing today about the trip, and we would love to have our younger children be able to hear as well. So we have an activity little packet for them to do while they're here listening. And for those of you who are in third grade and up, we definitely want you to stay and listen and be a part of this with us. If you're second grade and down, you can talk about that with your parents. And if you want to start out here and then maybe transition, we're going to have a classroom down the hall. Once you're in the classroom, you're going to stay in the classroom. So if you want to stay in here for a while and then go to the classroom, that's fine. Ashley and Denny are going to be in that classroom, so if you have very young kids, you know, you can go ahead and send them. And the nursery, the Ghana team's going to be taking care of your kids in the nursery as well so that you can listen. So we are going to start out here. Well, let me give you a second to get transitioned with the kids. So Troy's going to pass out an activity packet for you, for those who are staying. Those who are what? A gift to Christmas. Amanda has an announcement about gift to Christmas first before we start all our wonderful sharing. So if you are a younger kid or a nursery kid, you can go ahead and leave now during this.
Hello, very brief. Gift of Christmas is this coming Saturday. If you don't know what Gift of Christmas is about, I would love to tell you about it after the service. But there's a sign-up sheet in the back. And we have 23 volunteers signed up. And normally we have about 50. So please, I'm asking each one of you to please search your heart and ask the Lord if He would have you volunteer. We need shopping volunteers and we need dinner volunteers. There is always a need for shopping volunteers. Where we take the residents of the Stark County Homeless Shelters Christmas shopping, there is always a need for shopping volunteers. So please, 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 please. Please volunteer. And then also we're accepting clothing donations in the back for the clothing donation room. We're also accepting new socks, bags of new socks, because we like to give our guests at least one pair of fresh socks. And then also on Tuesday, I believe we'll be passing out cookies for people to bake, because we always have cookies and coffee while they're waiting for dinner to be served. So thank you. Okay, I'm going to go get the volunteer sheet, and we're going to pass it around. I thank you so much for everyone that has volunteered already. Please, please, please. And also, while I'm thinking of it, we often have people here at Frontline who will invite their friends and family who either would be a great volunteer or maybe they would be blessed by being here. Maybe they don't know the Lord and they would be blessed by the program, the gospel program that we put on. So I would also ask you to consider asking friends and family, you know, if it's the Lord, then don't even worry about it being, oh, it's next weekend. Just ask them and allow the Lord to provide favor so that they will come and volunteer.
Hello. Can you tell we're back? Hello, family. It's good to be here. It's good to see your faces. It's good to be in the house of God here. We miss you guys. We had a great time in Cote d'Ivoire and Ghana. It was amazing. And hopefully everybody had a good Thanksgiving. Everybody had a good time with their family and friends. And here we are on Sunday. So we got back last Tuesday night late, and we all decided to wear our matching outfits. So we were surprised when we were blessed with this. The black and white is a really cool color, but we were surprised to all have the same. But, you know, what a blessing that Mama Vera and Pastor Samuel were able to give us. And we told them we'd take a picture and send it. So they all send their love, and our new friends and family in Cote d'Ivoire sends their love as well. And that's probably a little bit different to wrap your arms around, because most of you haven't been there. And we're just seeing God do so many things. So today, we want to share the connection between the two countries and share, obviously, the adventures in both, and just highlight what the Lord's done, because it's really to give Him glory. And we've just heard so many great things about you guys, and I'm just so grateful that everything went smoothly. And also, there was, you know, good things to report on top of that. And I know there's always difficulties and struggles and things like that, but just to see how the family just gathered around to help each other out. So thank you for that. It's really great. And you guys were part of everything that we saw, every miracle, every healing, every salvation, every bit. You were part of that. So thank you so much for being together with us. So I'm not quite sure of the Okay, I see the hands going out of where we're going. I know there's a list. We had an exceptional team, which we always do. I always say, this is my favorite team. And they say, you always say that, which I always do. But they were just really a blessing to be part of. And just watched and just had so much fun, just seeing the flow of the Spirit. There was never a no. Can I just say that? And I just really encourage you guys to carry that with Gift of Christmas. This team was just willing to just lay down their own preferences and lay down whatever they wanted to do. And they just said yes. In a good way. It wasn't yes out of force. It was yes out of, let's see what God will do. So I just offer that to you as well. So just encourage you to be part of that, to see these beautiful people in the Canton and Massillon area come into a place of real safety and the safety net in the heart of Jesus. So hopefully you'll be able to say yes and be part of that as well. So beautiful Ashley has something to say, and I'm not sure what it is, but hey, nice dress. It's good.
Oh, well, it's so good to be back and see all of you again and be able to worship with you. God is just so amazing. And so, like, this is my first time in Cote d'Ivoire and in Ghana. And so it was incredible to join with a team where we had those who have been there for years and years and years, those who have been there for some, and then Audrey and I who had our first experience. And just continuing to join together as one team, go out, do the same thing together as a team, and just see the Lord move in miraculous ways. So that was really exciting to see. But in both places, we had a chance to do a Kingdom Bible School where we brought in church leaders around the area to be able to share the love of God with them in this Kingdom Bible School, share foundation, share who God is with them. And so it was our first time doing this in Cote d'Ivoire. So a big, like, pioneering experience working with church leaders in the area to have a place to hold it, as well as being able to connect with other church leaders to bring them in. And there were so many people there that were just excited about being present and in KBS and just receiving the whole time. And so one of the days towards the beginning, we had a chance to share about what soaking is. So Carly, if you could put up the first picture. We had a demonstration of soaking with a sponge. And just how we are a sponge. And so when we lay in the presence of the Lord, then we can continue to receive more and be filled up. So then we can overflow into others. And so we gave the students a chance to be able to participate in soaking. And so these are two of our wonderful contacts, Tomas and Pastor Elijah. And it was their first time ever experienced soaking. And so afterwards, we had a chance to share if anyone heard or saw anything. And Tomas shared that he saw a river just going from the front of the church to the back, and he was floating in it, just being immersed in the river. And then Pastor Elijah shared that he saw a mountain with river flowing from it and plants growing around it. So just hearing, like, this is their first time ever soaking, like, with us in the presence, and just hearing that first testimony of, yes, I saw a picture from the Lord. The Lord's speaking to me, and this is what he's sharing with me. It was just incredible to see, like, God doesn't stop. He continues to speak to each one of us if we let him, if we listen. And so that was really encouraging for me to hear, like, just continuing to go before the Lord and listen to what he has to share. And so then throughout the week, we were able to just continue to share different, like, foundations throughout our faith. And so in the next picture, we had a chance to invite everyone to come up and be a part of the drama that we shared. So a lot of ways that we show different scriptures is being able to go do it in a drama. And so this one, we did the wedding feast. And so we started out with going out and just trying to invite people and them, like, not responding, not wanting to be a part of the wedding feast. And then the king then invites everyone to come. And so we were able to get the whole school involved and have everyone come up and be a part of the wedding feast and just show like the love of God and just be able to have everyone there. I think that really hit me. Like there were some people that were like, all right, let's go. And then there were some that were a little timid about coming up, but like God's calling everyone into the wedding feast. And so that really hit me of just like, wow, like every single student, no matter like if they're the first ones going up or the last one coming up, like God's still going after their heart, still sharing his love with them, still wants them to come. And then the other part of the wedding feast story is that one comes not in wedding clothes. And so like continuing to come back and realize like we need to be preparing ourselves for the coming of the Lord, for the wedding feast, which then kind of goes into one thing that really hit me that was said the one day was that like at least a lot of girls are like constantly preparing for their wedding, like what it will look like, how it will look, what dress I'm going to wear, where am I going to have it, and all this stuff, all these details. And like me and my high school friends used to constantly like talk about what our wedding would be like. But then it was said that we should be, if not more, preparing for the wedding of Christ. And that hit me really hard. Like, wow, I'm literally preparing for such an earthly thing. Like, it's a great day and it's supposed to be celebrated, but it's still earthly. So how much more greater is the wedding feast of the Lord going to be with the bride, as the bride of Christ? So just continuing to like think about that and go back to what that is. So that was a really, really cool experience for me to see. And we did this skit both in Cote d'Ivoire and in Ghana. So I had a chance to continue to think about that more as we did it again. But then if you go to the next picture. Okay.
Okay, I'm just going to jump in and out here. Not quite sure of the order, but I was just asking Carly about a few things. Thanks, Ash. And what we want to try to do is bridge the two countries together, and you'll see the differences. Obviously, we were in a building, a church building in Cote d'Ivoire, and that was the first time, and we didn't know anybody, really, as far as the pastor we had met once. And so we were trying to set everything up there. And then when we go to Ghana, this is our land. We've done this 11 times. And there's a little bit more familiarity. It's more in a rural area. And so, you know, there are many similarities. But we were listening to the Spirit of God in terms of how are we going to do both Bible schools? We're dealing with African people. How is it going to be? What are you going to do? How are you going to move us from one topic to the other? One thing that we did have, as you can see, there's a little bit more of an outdoor feel. This is our land in Ghana. One thing that we did have was a Kingdom Bible School training manual that we had prepared beforehand. And we had that as a place that had a lot of pictures and a place that had a lot of scriptures and just some kind of sense of areas that we wanted to cover, but yet saying, God, what do they need? And what is it foundationally that will help them be able to come into a place of growth? So some, even though they're leaders, they had never had the real strong foundation of the cross and all of us being co-crucified with Jesus, co-buried with Jesus, and co-raised with Jesus. And so they never really had that in either place to the degree that they got it. And some maybe have heard that, but most we heard had not. And so we really went deep with them. And the pastor in Cote d'Ivoire, whose church we were using, that building, he said, this was deep. He was able to be there most of the time. And he said, this is deep. And he says, you can use this place next year if you want. And I need my people to be here. So we were, you know, going into new territory. We'd never done it before. And we had met some of the people, Tomas and Pastor Elijah and Florence and Christian. And we had met with them and worked with them last year. But all the rest of the people were all brand new. So we watched as the Lord spread that and worked together to bring unity with different people, different parties, different backgrounds, to be able to present the gospel in a way that would fan the flame through the country. And that's what our goal was, not just only, which wasn't said, but just saying, not just only, what are we doing right here for these people right at the moment? We are always asking God for the bigger picture and asking him, thank you, and asking him, what will this look like next year? What could this look like in 10 years? What would be something that would be helpful for them right now where they are? How can we spread this? What's your fire looking like? So at the very end of Kingdom Bible School in both places, the Lord released a very strong call, a very fiery call. But this video is dealing with the banqueting table and the bride of Christ, and some of you may have seen this. So we can go ahead and watch this. This is in Sola, Ghana. So children, you can see this. There wasn't a video for the first one, but we have a video for this. So it was similar material, but presented in a different way. It's almost a video. So I haven't seen any of these video clips. So, you know, there's just so much material. It's amazing. We see a sheet in the corner with rings on the sheet. So we projected pictures, obviously, you can see on the side. And there's the banqueting table with the father and the bride. So it was really effective having Andy wrapped up instead of Carly. So we thought that would be a good idea, you know, to really depict the bridal connection between male and female and Jesus and all of that. So Well, that was part of our foundation with everybody in both countries, but we seemed to spend a little bit more time with that in Sola. We spoke quite a bit about sonship and being connected with God, being chosen by the Lord before the foundation of the world. And we spoke about being adopted into the family of God, what that was like, what that is like, and our new identity and our new inheritance coming from the Father. So that was undergirding everything else that took place. So we want you to know that in both countries, that we were very, very specific about the foundation. What is salvation? Who are we? Who is our God? Does he really love us? What does love look like? And to really hammer that over and over and over. And sometimes it felt like, oh my gosh, we're saying it again. But by the end of the week for both countries, it seemed as though they really were walking in their identity much more than in the very beginning. So we had pastors and leaders coming in, and it seemed to make a huge difference. And then at night, we would go out three times in Ghana, I think it was, and twice in Cote d'Ivoire. We went out at night, and we went into villages. So we had to drive to that. And then we had healing, salvation, deliverance, and you'll hear about that. But that's after a full day. And this team was amazing. They were like, okay, let's do this, let's go. So the fire in this team enabled everybody to be able to go do those things. So we would take people with us as a practical outpouring of this is what the gospel looks like. It's maybe a little bit different than what you've seen, but this is what we do, this is what we see, and this is what fruit we've seen as a result. So it was really great. So I just wanted to add that. I don't know if there's any other videos that go along with that or who the next person is. Is there anything with the soaking that somebody was going to show? Because Ashley shared a lot about soaking. Because we soaked a lot every day, I think 7 or 8 days, in Sola, outside in the morning. Josh and Andy and others would go out and get the music going, and there would be tarps that would be put down, and people would come and lay down every day. Now, we've done that before, so some of them who have come before, they were not, you know, new to this, but at the same time, there were a lot who were. And so it was really amazing that they knew, this is what we do. This is how we start our day. The presence of God is priority. And so to spend a little bit more time explaining all of that in Cote d'Ivoire is what we did. And so the soaking looked a little bit different. And so, you know, some never had experienced that before, others had. So this was really different when you compare the two countries. And for us having been there, it's like, wow, we would talk about how it was different in Cote d'Ivoire and Ghana, but yet same God, same gospel, same desires, same fire, released a little bit differently. So I'm not sure who's next or who's going to respond about. Ashley is about that? Okay.
Yeah, so with soaking in both places, it was just like introducing it in Cote d'Ivoire and being able to share with them like the first couple testimonies that I shared. But then in Ghana, just seeing all these people, like there are sometimes I'd walk out and there's just all these people just laying on tarps, just in the presence of the Lord, all ages, from really young children, like even like toddlers up to, I don't even know how old, just everyone of the camp, like the group there just came just to spend time with the Lord, which was really cool to see. And so just then hearing the heart that God has for each one of them to share more with them and continue to be with them was just really incredible. And seeing the way that soaking, especially in Sola, soaking and like whatever the Lord was speaking then transitioned into what was being outpoured in Kingdom Bible School. And it just all flowed together and all connected together. And so then the one day we also in both places had a chance to share about the prodigal son, or we had the prodigal daughters. and so it was going out in Cote d'Ivoire. It was really focused on like the older son and what the older son was doing, like as more of the religious mindset of I'm doing the good things, I'm doing what I'm supposed to, but not spending the time to be with the Lord, as well as the younger son going out and spending all the money, not doing what the father wants, but then coming back and having the father welcome him, her with open arms. And so in Sola, we were able to present it in a different way of both of the daughters as being blind, not being able to see the father's love at all. And so we represented that with wearing masks to be able to show, like, even if we're doing things, no matter what we're doing, if we're blind, it's not going to be helpful in any sort of way. And so just like the older daughter was continuing working, and the father like would prepare a table for her to come and have food for her, but she was just so focused on the work that she needed to do that she didn't spend time with the father. And then the younger daughter was the one that like got the money and went out and spent it all on fun things of the world, but then came back after a realization, and that's when the father opened his arms to her to receive her, and she wasn't prepared for it. She was expecting to come back as a servant. And so then just seeing the connection of how the Lord then opened up the hearts of the people to then receive God, to be able to receive his love. That was one big thing in Sola, was just like their arms were open to receive his love then. It was like they could see from the drama and have the mind shift of, oh, I need to take the time to receive instead of just doing the things that need to be done. So that was really, really something that stood out to me, and I could notice and see the change in the people as well as in myself, just continuing to realize, like, I'm not here just to do the work, but here to continue to share the love of God as well as experience the love of God. So that was really cool to be able to experience that. And then one other drama that we had a chance to share in Sola that was like really foundational for everyone deals with the body, the soul, and the spirit, and how we are, those three parts are in us. So if I could invite the rest of the team up, that would be great.
Yes, you may. Many of you who've been in Ghana before know that these are all done on the spot. So this, there's not 3 days of practice. These are after there's an impartation about the body, soul, and spirit, or whatever it would be, or a picture with verbal explanation, then the team would come up, hear from the Lord, put this together, and then we would pray for people as well to be able to tap into what God is saying. So, yes.
So before Andy came, I got to be in every drama because I was the only man. So I was happy to narrate this one. And when Andy came, I was happy that he was the bearded bride and not me. That was my nickname for him, but anyway. So this drawing, if you remember, that Peter drew for a message one time, we got the opportunity to use. And we said that Rachel was the body, Audrey was the soul, and Carly was the spirit. And we talked about how you're a three-in-one being, but who is leading the charge? Who's in the forefront, the part of you that, you know, everyone sees? So, you know, if the pastor says, so we use examples for them, if the pastor says, come and fast and pray all through the night, the body says, I'm tired. I want to eat banku and fufu. I don't want to pray. So they say, no, thank you. I won't be coming to church tonight. An example they can hear or they can understand. Where we had another example, if the soul was leading, so the mind, will, and emotions, the mind, will, and emotions see a potential husband. I like this one. He makes me feel good. He looks very fine. He has lots of money. He will make me happy. But the Holy Spirit is saying, this isn't the person I have for you. if you go down that route, you guys will not be joined together in unity, and there will be problems, and you won't be happy. So don't go that route. But the soul says, I'm the one leading, so I will do that. So he got a man. She got a man. And it didn't go so well. But then Holy Spirit led in a different way, and there was a good union that was for the best. So that Holy Spirit, when Holy Spirit's in control, these other situations, they say, come and fast and pray. And the body's like, I'm tired. But the Spirit said, I'm willing. I'm ready to go. I see the importance of this. I'm in control. So come on, body. Come on, soul. We're going to church. We're fasting. We're praying. Because the Spirit is willing even when the flesh is weak. And when that one man comes and you say, ooh, I like how he feels. I look at his money. Ooh, he's handsome. The Spirit says, he's not for you. This is not the one. But this one over here, see, this is the one I have for you. Isn't it amazing? And your spirits will join together and you'll do amazing things. So that was our skit, and it was very fine.
Were you done, Ashley? Okay, then it's my turn. Ashley, can you go to the nursery then and tell me? So I was in Ghana and Cote d'Ivoire last year and the year before, but I think you guys saw the videos that we were able to send back. We sent you video testimonies on a Sunday, and I was sharing about Jeremy that we had met last year. So just to recap the story a little bit, last year when we were in Cote d'Ivoire, we were doing a village outreach. And for those of you who have been with us overseas, you know what a village outreach typically looks like. And there was a lot of activity going on, a lot of people being delivered, a lot of healings, a lot of rowdy crowd and salvations. And so we spent a long time with that. It was late at night. We were about done with that drama site, and some of us are already back in the van. And then they came to get us and said, there's somebody, you know, who's very sick, almost dead. Would you come pray for them? So we, myself included, got out of the van and, you know, walked back through this very dark village and went into a room where Jeremy was just laying on mats on the floor. And at that point, he looked very close to death. He was not able to move anything. He could blink his eyes to say yes or no. So we spent 2 hours there, and some of you have seen the video of that time. 2 hours there praying over him, declaring, singing, leading him in salvation through the, you know, yes or no, and breaking witchcraft off of him and all of that. And at the end of 2 hours, he had been able to, a little bit, we kind of sat him up. He was able to move his foot a little bit, his hand a little bit, but there wasn't the major healing visible at that point. But we felt like it was time to leave. The Lord was saying that we had done what we were to do. And then coming home that night is when Pastor Mary Pat ended up having her leg injury, and we felt like that was a direct event happening, you know, this significant prayer time for Jeremy. And so then over the year, we got word back from our Cote d'Ivoire contacts that had gone back to visit him, that he was healed, that he was up, and they sent us video of him talking and smiling, and which we were praising God for. And so this year when we got to go back, it was amazing to me that he got to come to Kingdom Bible School with his whole family, his mom, dad, and sister that we had met that night when we were praying for them. They had been in and out part of the prayer time. They all trooped into Kingdom Bible School. They wanted to see us, greet us, and Jeremy gave his testimony, which I think we have that video clip. Okay, short clip. 2018. That's when we had sat him up. He wasn't able to sit up on his own. They were holding him up. That's his dad behind him, I believe.
I was chained.
Yeah, chained.
Maybe the captain.
So he's explaining how the demonic hold over him was trying to kill him. So. So he's thanking Jesus. I don't know how to thank Jesus and thanking us for praying for him. He what? So that's his mother. They came up to sing a song of praise to God. So, what? Oh, and there's a sister back there in the pink dress clapping her hands. For me, just looking at this and, you know, Lord, what are you doing here? And he's expressed his desire to go with us. He wanted to be with us, you know, as much as he could. He wants to preach the gospel. He wants the Lord to use his life. And so that's his, you know, mother, father, sister, Jeremy. I believe he's 18. I was remembering back to last year, something the Lord was speaking to my heart. Pastor Jose from Mozambique had been here for a Relentless Pursuit right before he went and had shared some of his testimony, of being a street kid and, you know, where the Lord's taken him. And so I remember last year in Africa, looking at these people who are village people, you know, they're very remote up in northern Ghana and in some places in Cote d'Ivoire, and just realizing, you know, the Lord took Pastor Jose from the streets to where the position of influence he is now, and to look at the people that we're serving and ministering to through the eyes of the Lord, where he says, anything is possible. That's something he spoke to me on this trip. And so for Jeremy, you know, those of you who've been to Africa, you know the villages and the, you know, the small huts. And to say that the Lord brought us, you know, to him out of, you know, just this little hut in a little village and pulled him from death and set him on a course where he wants to share his, you know, his life for Jesus. And he was able to, his whole family come to Kingdom Bible School, which they would never have had an opportunity for that kind of teaching or that kind of opportunity to come. You know, we pay the transport to come in from the village to the city. They could be there for the school. Florence, who's one of our contacts from Cote d'Ivoire, has taken special interest in Jeremy and has visited him and is mentoring him. And he went to the school, got special permission for Jeremy to be able to come to Kingdom Bible School and miss school. And then he went with us on outreaches. You know, Josh was able to talk with him and teach him some English, and he got to absorb, you know, everything that we were doing with evangelism. And since we've been home, we've heard that our translator has invited him to come to English classes. So, you know, here's a kid who's in the middle of nowhere, but the Lord has picked, handpicked, you know, for life and for his purposes, and is bringing him to contact with people that he never would have had contact with, you know, being able to learn English that he never would have, you know, had that opportunity, and just excited to see where the Lord takes him, so.
One more thing about him is that he would tell me, and Pastor Bill, he would say, I want to be with you. Everywhere you go, I want to go. Every place you go, every country you go to, I want to go. He had this evangelistic thrust inside of him from the Lord that the Lord stirred from gratitude, saving his life, and he was fully, fully aware. So the very first place that we went for an outreach, I don't know who's going to be sharing about it, there were so many demonic things going on. So many witches that were delivered. Whoever has that, I don't know who that is. Okay, Audrey's going to share that. He was there. He came up and he stood next to me. He didn't say anything. I shared his testimony, and that was short. And that was fine, because there was so much wickedness around there. He was still in process. And then he went to another outreach after that, and he was ready to share his testimony, but we had a little bit of a check in our heart, because there was still a lot of witchcraft. So the Lord wanted him lifted up, undergirded, solidified, before he would be a giant target again. And so there was a real sensitivity there to say, Lord, show us exactly what to do and say. So he's not a trophy. We don't think that way. But we wouldn't want the enemy to say, let's get rid of him. So there was sensitivity for that. And then we saw him just begin to rise. And so whatever is going to be shared about the next part with him, whoever that is, can come. Or unless you had a different plan. Not quite sure who's doing what. Audrey? Okay,
so our first village outreach in Cote d'Ivoire was amazing and super encouraging, because just how open the people were and welcoming. So when we first got there, I mean, obviously in your spirit you can sense and just feel the darkness. And then we started off with a dance, so Ashley, Carly, and I did dance. Can't say it was the best performance, but the village people loved it. They were like dancing with us and all smiling. So it was just, it's always nice to see when the village people get excited by us and they were joining in. And I think even our translator in the back was like dancing and like shouting and cheering for us. So that was so much fun. And then we did a drama for them. And then Pastor Mary Pat preached the gospel. And, oh, Papa Bill first preached the gospel. You both did that night. So, yeah, and the kids were just like, I mean, the kids were in awe of Pastor Bill. And then he did the call, and so many people came up to bow their knees. And then after giving their lives over, then Pastor Mary Pat came up with Jeremy, because she really wanted to go for deliverance of the demonic. And so having Jeremy's testimony, I think it really... The freedom and deliverance that Jeremy went through, his breakthrough was so strong and present in that land for people to come forward. Because after that, we had these women that, and I think they're in the chairs, one of the pictures. These women, I mean, I don't know how old they were, but they were explaining that they had been doing witchcraft since they were very young. And there was just such an ease, like they were just so quick to say, yeah, like I've been doing witchcraft for so long and I want to repent of this and turn away from it. And it was just like, who, you know, for so many years, you're so engrafted into this dark, dark stronghold. And in one moment, you're like, yeah, I'm going to let all of it go and give it all to Jesus. So, so these are the women. And actually, these men that were sitting down, I think either two or three of them, during one of the calls, I think it was when Pastor Bill or either Pastor Mary Pat, they were still like going forth and, you know, calling people to repent. These two, I'm pretty sure it was just the two men sitting in the last green chairs to the right. They like came up with like smiles on their face. Like you could just tell they were off. And I think like Josh had come over to me because they were just smiling, and they walked over to me and were like standing and like just staring at me, and I was like, okay. And Josh like walked over to like protect me. And then next thing you know, they're repenting and giving their lives to Jesus and renouncing witchcraft. So it was just a super encouraging night. This was the woman. So all of these men, anytime Pastor Mary Pat would call someone up to give a testimony about healing, because we went through healing, when they were healed, they also renounced witchcraft, because a lot of their pain was coming from being involved with witchcraft, going to a witch doctor. He said he had done witchcraft for a long time, and he gave his life to Jesus that night. So this was the one woman who had been doing witchcraft for a very long time, and after, she said that she wanted more of Holy Spirit, so we were praying for the infilling of Holy Spirit to come. And that's the same lady. Jesus, you
Sion.
I want to come into your family.
You want to come in? You want to come in? Come back in, my sister.
I believe you've come to this earth to die on the cross for my sin.
You have to get a body and you may not know. I will be back and ask you. Be empty.
I believe you've raised from the dead 3 days later.
You scare me to my team. I feel. I see a love. I feel it.
I ask for your forgiveness for my sin. I repent of all my sin.
Yeah, so, and that woman in the with the red top, and she's like the first one sitting in the chair, she was the one that we knew that she was in very involved in very, very high-level witchcraft. Said she had done it from a since she was little. Is this the woman who got... Okay, so... This woman, she had pain all throughout her body? Was back pain... And so we were having her walk, telling her that Jesus is going to heal you. Go ahead and walk and tell us how it feels. So yeah, obviously the smile on her face just shows of the healing touch that she had received that night. And so this whole situation right here had super encouraged me because this was after like many calls to come to the Lord. And so it just goes to show that the Lord will keep going after you until you, you know, finally come to him, because those men weren't involved. Like those two men that were sitting a part of this circle during this part, they didn't come up for, you know, Pastor Bill's call to give their life to Jesus. They didn't come up for Pastor Mary Pat's call initially. You know, they were just kind of moseying around and like smiling and, you know, just trying to see what was going on. But eventually, you know, they ended up giving their lives to Jesus and repenting of witchcraft themselves. So it was a very powerful night. It was like a clean sweep. I mean, pretty much everyone that was there ended up surrendering their lives to Jesus. And I think it was a testimony that the harvest is ripe and the Lord had divinely set that up. Like, they were ready for us to be there. I mean, who just decides to give up witchcraft? You know, because we went to another village where it was kind of hard to finally get to that point of them saying, okay, yes, like, I will confess. I mean, even confessing that you've been a part of witchcraft wasn't always that simple as that first outreach was. So it was really cool, and we're excited to be in Cote d'Ivoire.
So the day after that, we had another full day of Kingdom Bible School and went out for another village outreach. And we went to a village called Jasanu. And it was really awesome because Pastor Elijah is one of the pastors that they met last year in Cote d'Ivoire and connected with. So he was one of our contacts there. And he attended the Kingdom Bible School and really wanted us to come to the village that he was from because he was from there and his grandfather was the chief of the village. His name was Chief Kofi. And so when we arrived, it was a bit of a drive out. And when we arrived, it was like the whole village was there ready to welcome us and to greet us. And so that was really exciting. And then Chief Kofi presented Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat and Pastor Samuel and Mama Vera with sheep as a gift. And we ended up naming him Ramses. And a rooster as well, who we named Potiphar. Thanks, Rebecca, for that awesome suggestion. And so there's our beloved pastors receiving their gifts, which was just really fun. In Africa, that's, you know, that's a really beautiful gift to give someone, a sheep and a rooster. So we got to then travel with them. We even took them with us to Ghana North. So they became our friends as Ramses was tap dancing on the roof above us as we're driving this long drive, and Potiphar's underneath our seats and we're stuffing our bags to make sure he's not able to peck at our ankles along the drive. But he didn't. He never pecked us once. So, and he didn't really crow too much in the van either, which I was a little concerned about. I like to sleep in the car. So, but he would wait till the door was opened and then he would give a little crow. So, so anyways, he can go on from there. So again, we did Torn Between Two Worlds. Really fun. This is the first time Andy, Josh, and Rachel were on a trip together since 2006. Is that right? So we're saying it would be great to find if there was ever a, you know, picture from the three of them doing this drama back then. But they got to, our veterans on the team got to do Torn Between Two Worlds. And then we also did a dance that night. And then Pastor Bill, again, preached a powerful and authoritative message. And many people, about 65 people, were moved in their hearts to come forward to receive Jesus, including the chief of the village. And it was really incredible because he had he actually had a lot of pain in his knees, and it was hard for him to even stand up. But the Lord gave him the strength to stand up and walk forward so he could pray out the salvation prayer. And then we also learned that the chief had blindness in one of his eyes, complete blindness, and most his other eye was almost completely blind. So then, go ahead, Andy. Is our video next? So, yeah, go ahead. So the pastors, of course, prayed for him, for his knees, for his eyes. And also, he also shared the testimony that he had a deafness, almost complete deafness, and the Lord opened his ears so he could hear the gospel message. And when he shared that, another woman came up, and we have a picture. Actually, yeah, sorry, Andy, if you could show the picture of the other lady. I think I have that. She also testified the same thing happened to her. She was deaf, and God opened their ears so they were able to hear Pastor Bill sharing the gospel, and they were able to give their lives to Jesus even before we prayed for any healing for them. So, was that? Oh, of course. The rainbow wheel of God's promises. It's coming just now. So as you'll see in the video, it was a progressive healing with the chief. They actually ended up praying for his eyes and then his knees. He got up and started to walk. He said his body was feeling better. The pain in his knees had gone. And he first was able to see light. And then they prayed again, and he was able to see shadows and movement. And then they prayed again, and he was actually able to see the number of fingers that were held up in front of his face before we left, which was really, really amazing. So it was incredible. And the awesome thing was when he first started receiving his healing, as you'll see, he was like, I know God is healing me. I know that he will do it. Because Pastor Mary Pat was encouraging him. When he starts a good work, he brings it to completion. And he, you know, hallelujah. And he was really excited about it and really filled with faith. You could see he knew that the completion of the healing was going to come. And then the next morning at Kingdom Bible School, since his grandson was there in attendance, he actually gave us the report that that morning he woke up and his eyesight was clear. So we were just absolutely blown away by God's goodness and his healing power. And the chief's granddaughter also had almost complete blindness, and she also received improvement in her eyesight as well that night. So we're just excited for what God is doing in the village of Jasanu and what we believe that he's going to continue to do there. So it's not loading the video, so we will make sure to get that up on the website and share it here another time if we're able to, or if we're still able to get it today, then we will. But it was really, really amazing. So that's the woman that also testified that her ears were open to hear the gospel. So thank you, Jesus. Let's see. Is Rachel the next one? Probably. Everyone else went, right? Josh, you can come up. Yeah.
Isn't that awesome? Yes. So after we went from Ivory Coast to Sala with a nice, fun, long van ride that you heard about, the rooster did save its crowing for the next morning, you know, when we were all still sleeping at about 3 to 5 a.m. It saved its crowing for then. But we started Kingdom Bible School, and then we did some village outreach in the evenings. And the first village that we went to, we've been to previously, called Sanjere. And we set up the Jesus film, projected on the side of a home. And then we got a chance to share the gospel again. And what was fun, and I wanted you guys to see here, is, you know, you see a lot of videos of our pastors preaching, and it's awesome, and that's because they're our spiritual parents, and this is where we learn. But you also realize, like, when they're gone, there's people that preach up here and teach and stuff like that as well. Well, the same thing happens overseas. And so we got a chance for some to share at that village, and God, man, really poured out his anointing and really poured out the gospel and healing and deliverance. And so I just want to show a few clips of that, if you have those video clips, Carly. Okay. Sorry.
Should I follow this Jesus?
Oh, come on, you know, you're here today to follow Jesus.
So, one more clip. Okay, here it comes. Oh. I think that's the same one. So whether you're a doctor, a painter, a mother of four boys, or anything else, you know, God has called us all to preach the gospel, to deliver the gospel. And he just weaved it in between everyone that was involved. You know, I had the privilege of starting off, and then Andy shared things on healing and deliverance, and then testimonies came forward, which then encouraged more people. And then Rachel, you know, went after it again for some more deliverance, more salvation. And God was just, you could see, just after people's hearts, wherever they were at, whether they were in the way back and they didn't want to come up at first, he kept pursuing. He kept going after, and he used the testimonies of each person to draw every individual person there. You saw some Muslims that came forward for salvation. I mean, that's not a light thing. They have to think about, what does this mean for, you know, am I going to get sacked out of my house? You know, there's a lot of cultural and religious things that decision means. So for their hearts to be gripped like that was amazing. So I just show that to encourage you all that, you know, God has that for you. The Great Commission is for all of us. And, you know, you may be in one of these videos preaching here in the near future. So a couple other potpourri things I wanted to share is, can we bring up maybe either the picture of Alex or Philip? Yes.
Just going to point out, I don't know if you saw in the last video clip of Josh, but I was back in the back watching the stuff, you know, just keeping an eye on our belongings and listening to Josh share, you know, powerful salvation message. I was like, wow, he's really fired up. And then, you know, Andy was sharing, and then PMP came up to me and said, you know, be ready. I might ask you to step in here. And I had known some of the situation in the village, just there was opposition against what we were sharing. So I knew that already. And then Pastor Mary Pat, it was like, you know, if you, there's people on the outskirts who are more mocking and, you know, they are, they need challenged. And so she was telling me, you know, go be who you are, you know, be firewoman, you know, just go for it. And so I'm like, okay, because I wasn't really feeling it at that moment. But so Andy's, you know, in the midst of trying to get healing testimonies, and she's like, are you ready? And I'm like, where am I going again? She said, salvation. I was like, okay. So I grabbed the mic, and I was like, well, I'll just start with Jesus is powerful, and I'll go from there. And So, but that was actually my most fun night of the trip. It was amazing. And I was telling Josh afterwards, I'm like, man, my throat hurts. I'm not used to like talking that loud. He's like, oh, I know. I don't usually hear you that loud. So it was awesome.
I was like, I texted Troy afterwards. I was like, your wife was on fire. And he's like, yeah, most people don't know, you know, how powerful she is. And I was like, well, I ain't never seen Rachel preach like that before.
At the very beginning, well, when we were showing the film, Pastor Bill and I were talking to each other and asking the Lord what to do, because neither one of us felt that we would be preaching that night, which is perfectly fine with us. So we were very excited and asking the Lord about how to do that, because there's a strategy from heaven. It's not just, well, haven't seen Josh for a while, so give him the mic. It's not like that. You know, it's just, Lord, what are you doing? Because there's so many things we don't know, we don't understand. And we've been doing this a long time, and we don't know what's happening, you know, in the spirit. But he does. So there's a very strong yes, both of us. Give Josh the mic, and we'll go from there. And that's how it was. And then give Andy the mic. And then it was really strong. Rachel. So to go over to Rachel and say, so, you know, you're ready? Something's going to happen here. And it was, there was a lot of holy chaos going on. So it's not just real smooth and everybody's just sitting there going, isn't this nice? People are coming to tell us how we need to repent. I mean, you're fighting in there. You're standing in the glory and you're carrying the gospel of the kingdom. And there are plenty of spirits going, this ain't going to work. And don't you even think about it. And I've got a strategy and I'm going to win. And Jesus is just smiling going, I don't think so. And so it was really great. So when Josh went out there in the fire and the power, and nothing had been happening since the video's first thing, it was like, okay, go, Josh. Let's just see what God's doing. And he just listened and was completely flowing in the spirit. We were so excited. And then Andy took the torch, so to speak. You know, they passed the mic. And then the next was Rachel. But I don't think Rachel was expecting that. I think Andy has you know, been involved in a lot of healing and deliverance and salvation over the years going to Mozambique. So he may have thought I might be asked to do something. But I don't think Rachel was thinking necessarily that she was going to be the next one holding the mic. Although everybody is always encouraged to be prepared, I think she was thinking about other things and then, you know, said, oh, okay. But that okay inside of her, that's all it took, and just released who she really is completely. And we were just stepping back going, wow, the glory was there. And it was just all three of them together. And it was just a mighty rushing wind of power that went through that village. And it was just one of the most joyful times for Pastor Bill and I. I did smack it. Smack it. But that's just so much fun. And we saw that in Kingdom Bible School, too. We loved that. I mean, you saw a lot of dramas, and they're good at dramas. But there are a lot of things that were not drama-oriented. I'd say, here, Josh, take this somewhere. And give him the mic. Okay. Or, hey, can you act this out. There's a picture up here. Do something with it. And talk the people through, or whatever it would be. And the last day, we had an extra session after Kingdom Bible School was over in Salah, and the last session we felt that God was giving us to offer to the specific leaders, and there were 21 of them, and we didn't have anything planned. I mean, Kingdom Bible School was over, and people were going home, and tents were going to come down, and we passed out certificates, because people were staying on the land in Ghana, and in Cote d'Ivoire they were not. They were coming and going, very different. And so we had a leader's session, and that was just all led by the Holy Spirit, and we started it, and then these guys just came in with all kinds of beautiful truth and release of power and glory for everyone. It was one of the most significant times we had among many. So I was just very, very proud of our team coming in and being who they are called to be and stepping in and doing what they're created to do. Love it. So that was really encouraging also to our contacts. So they probably expected Pastor Bill and I to do something at Yonge, and we just said, thanks, guys. Good night. It was fun being here. Hope to see you again. And that was it, and it was thrilling for us to see that. So anyway, that's who you carry. That's the power and the love of Jesus that you carry. And when you go overseas, he'll expect that as well, because that's his expectation, not ours. And he knows that you can do it. He knows you can step in and then just trust him, and then he can flow powerfully through you. And that's the fire that we saw.
You know, you must have recently been in Africa if something doesn't work and you start to hit it. So speaking of context, if we could bring up... do you bring up the food picture so you can actually see his face first? So this is Alex. What I'm amazed about is, so each of these outreaches, Kingdom Bible Schools, right, there's a lot of people. And so there's a lot of things going on in each person's life. Even the contacts, pastors, leaders, translators, whatever, and God is thinking about each individual person, where they're at. And somehow in a whole session, or a whole week of sessions, or a whole trip, he weaves everything together to take that individual person as far as they'll let him go. whether you're the translator for the team or you're the bus driver or you're the taxi driver or you're cooking food or you're a Kingdom Bible, whoever you are, God is thinking about you. And so this was Alex. He works at a hotel. He's a receptionist at a hotel in Cote d'Ivoire. And I got to meet him this year. And he's just a hungry guy. Like, any time he wasn't working, he was there. And even sometimes he was late for work because he was there. Even after night shifts, he was there. And so you can go back to the other picture. At the end of the Kingdom Bible School in Cote d'Ivoire, after the last session, during lunchtime, I got a chance to share with him about baptism in the Holy Spirit. Pastor Mary Pat encouraged me to do that because she had been talking with him a little bit. So I literally at lunchtime got to sit down and go through the scriptures with him, which I love doing. I love like showing people, like, it's here in the Bible, you know, see it for yourself. And so we went through a lot of scriptures, and then we had to jump right back into Kingdom Bible School, so I didn't get a chance to pray with him. But then immediately after the session, when we were winding down, I got a chance to pray with him. And so we were praying together, and he easily received and was baptized in the Holy Spirit and started speaking in tongues. And he was just, like, amazed that it would actually happen to him. He heard other people, you know, and it was just like he was, you could see, so filled and so touched by the Holy Spirit. So then we took that, and there was other things going on, and he went and started testifying to his fellow contacts, to one of our other translators, to some of our contacts there. And then a session broke out of deliverance and baptism in the Holy Spirit and just a bunch of different stuff. And he actually got a chance to pray for somebody else to be baptized in the Holy Spirit right after he was. And he went and was then like a couple hours late for work, and it all worked out, you know. He originally was like, I gotta go. And then God did all this. And so I would just think that's just such a cool testimony about how God sees each individual person, whether you're a translator or not. And then another testimony of just how God weaves us all together is this next guy I want to show you. His name's Philip. So Philip is actually a leader in one of the Life Christian Center branches. And he was there the first day we were at Kingdom Bible School at church before we even started Kingdom Bible School on Sunday. After the message, we had a healing time. Many people were healed, and he came up and said he had a pain in the left side of his neck, and he had pain and ringing in his ears. So the pain in his neck and shoulder and the pain in his ears completely went. No one prayed for him other than just a group prayer, and he came up and testified of it. And he shared in his testimony that 3 years previously he had had this dream where he was laying down in a cocoa field and this thing came to him and said, "Follow me." And he tried to shout Jesus because he knew it, well, he wasn't supposed to, and he couldn't get it out. And finally he got Jesus out, and this demon like dropped and started running, but it was whispering things in his ears. He woke up from that dream and had pain and ringing in his ears. So that was 3 years ago. So obviously that's not a good dream. And so I had on my heart, man, I want to get a time later to get this guy and find out what's going on with that and pray for some deliverance. And so I did have that time later, and God gave me a word of knowledge about idol worship. I was just praying with, talking with him in the, you know, idol worship. So I said, "Have you ever been involved in idol worship?" And he said, "Oh yeah, I did for 12 years, 6 years ago, I stopped." People would actually come to me and they would consult. I would consult the idols on their behalf. And so he, you know, was involved with that. So we pray through that, we renounce it, we go through all of the prayers. The ringing is still in his ears. Like, man. You know, I'm like, "All right, Lord, well, I did everything I know to do. You know, I prayed him, I blessed him. He went away, still had ringing." I'm like, okay, well, keep doing it. So then he went through all 5 days of Kingdom Bible School, was there at every session. We had a lot of impartation. The very last day at church, the very last day, so now a week from the first Sunday, Pastor Mary Pat's sharing about salvation again. You think, okay, after a whole week of teaching, in-depth teaching, we would be past salvation, right? We'd be into other things, but, you know, sharing about salvation. And so something had changed in his heart to where the last day he raised his hand for salvation. And I'm thinking to myself, this guy's been saved like 3 or 4 times already this week. But something was different. Something had you know, changed in his heart to where he really understood it. I don't know. God only knows. So I came up to him after that service. How you doing? You know, how's the ringing in your ears? It's gone. It's gone. The pain, the ringing, everything. And so God was thinking about him in the midst of everything that was being released and what to me on the outside looked like kind of backwards. Like, you know, I thought you were saved 6 years ago and now you're saved at the end, but all these things are happening in between. God knows. God knows. And he loved him so much that he wanted to complete the process in his life so that when we left that Sunday, he was saved, healed, delivered, set free completely. So super awesome. All right. My last potpourri is I have to, you know, I'm worship leader, so I got to share a little bit on worship. So we had some amazing times where we got a chance to lead them in worship, and we got a chance to sing over them in worship. And so one of the times we had, the pastors were just like, hey, can you go over and lead them in worship? We're like, okay, we'll do that. And so we started out, we had a pretty wild time of praise. It was dancing. We are singing, yes, Lord. And we learned how to say a little bit in their local language in Brifo. Un soro. Amen. And we sang about Jesus and all this stuff. And it just was like, oh, yeah, you can play it. So I encouraged our girls to teach them how to twirl. They you know, they dance, but I was like, teach them how to twirl. So during this time of praise and worship, they were just opening their hearts up in a new way to the Lord. Un soro. Amen. So it was just really neat. You could just see that their hearts were opened up. You know, in praise, many times when we get to that spot where we just let go of our dignity and we just go for it, whether we're twirling or standing on our heads or just shouting out, whatever, you know, they had let go and their hearts opened up. And then we went into a time of worship, and there were, I don't know, 12, I think, young boys that got baptized in the Holy Spirit and were speaking in tongues during worship, just filled with the Spirit, all, you know, just an ad lib worship time. And then I think there's one picture, my last picture, I think, of them like leaning up against the cement wall. Do you have that picture of them leaning up against the cement wall? So we had a couple times in our sessions where we're just like, we want them to receive the presence of God. We don't want to just teach them about a topic. That's never our intent. We want them to literally have an impartation and receive from the presence of God. So they just all were aligned in the walls of the church, and we were just singing over them, speaking over them, praying over them, and just imparting the Spirit of God. And it was a super powerful time for all involved. So worship was being imparted in the continent of Africa, and they also always teach us a lot about praise and worship as well. So thank you all for your prayers, your support, your love, all that you are, and such a special time. Yes. And now, my good friend, the bearded bride himself, Obodai. Sure. So during one of these times at the end, people started getting prophetic words for people. And we were, in the Spirit, I was encouraged to listen, and specifically for a word in this time. And I was looking through the crowd, and this one guy, afterwards I realized that I had not seen him before. But every time I looked past him, he was like highlighted to me, you know. And I kept hearing the word bicycle. When I would see him, I was like, yeah, like that's anything significant, you know. And I'm looking at bicycle. I'm like, all right, I guess I'm supposed to share it. So I went up to him, and, you know, I started talking to him, and And I was like, I just keep seeing the word bicycle, and so I'm asking the Lord what it means. And the Lord started speaking to me a couple of things. One of the things was that he felt like he wasn't going anywhere in life, and he was hopeless. And so immediately when I said that, he started like speaking, yes, yes, like that's how I feel. And he started to share some things. He had just been in the hospital for depression, in the Ghanaian hospital, and had been given injections of medications and some different things. Yeah, here he is. His name was Daniel. And also, you know, spoke with him that not only was God giving him hope for his life, but God was taking him somewhere in his relationship with him. You felt stuck in your relationship with him. So he had attended a Roman Catholic church off and on, and also knew some of our contacts from Life Christian Center. And so he gave his life to the Lord, rededicated his life, however God sees that on the spot. And then felt, and Pastor Mary Pat confirming, she came up and continued sharing what the bicycle meant, that it was a sign for that he had a call for evangelism. And so we were able to speak that evangelistic call into his life, even though in his current circumstances kind of doesn't look like he would be thinking about evangelism. He's got a lot of personal issues that he's working through, but yet God was calling out that destiny in him all through a word of bicycle. And he was extremely touched that day. His family ended up coming the next, well, his mom was already there, but his dad ended up coming the next day. And then the enemy was trying to get in and steal that away and get him removed, because he then, next day, he kept thinking he wanted to go back to the hospital. He started feeling some of these feelings again. And actually, the Lord used a contact that I had from 3 years ago when we did the medical clinic. I had texted him that morning for a different reason, and he ended up being able to come to the land, which then the father, mother, and him said that the only way that they were going to stay is if like something could be done. They were ready to take him to the hospital. Well, this guy, this contact from 3 years ago, coming to the land, kept them on the land to attend the rest of Kingdom Bible School. And this guy, who is actually a mental health nurse, came in and was able to talk with him. And he was the same guy that literally just took care of him in the hospital. I had no idea. I just texted this guy out of the blue from 3 years ago. The very nurse that took care of him in the hospital, so knew his whole story. So when he sat down and talked with the family to reassure them, you know, to encourage them to stay and to keep with prayers and all of that, that is what kept him here, and he stayed for the rest of the time. So we got to pray with him more and minister to him more, and got to pray a time of deliverance with him as well. So just so you can see, God is thinking about the individual person and all that goes into it, even when you're in the big crowd. And for us just to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So same for here. As we're going throughout our days, God is thinking about that individual person, and we want to stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit for what God would speak to us for them to unlock the keys for their lives. So. All right. My bearded bride, Obodai.
So did you like the Bride of Christ photo? Did they show that yet? Yeah. Oh, yes. I was back in the, so I'll be, which to me was just a lot of fun, because it kind of helped break down some of those boxes of, hey, this is a spiritual reality that we're painting for you with a drama, which was really, really a lot of fun because of the creativity that always is released through Kingdom Bible School. And I know that some people have said it, like, this was a very awesome, amazing trip. I kind of joined the team a little bit late and kind of hit the ground and running with them. And one of the first things, I mean, a lot of things stood out to me, but I was so tired from all kinds of travels that I had fallen asleep just from pure exhaustion. And the first thing I wake up to is hearing the chief saying that he is healed. And it was just, I was like, what? This is amazing. And just that testimony that happened there was just so incredible, and the reports that happened. It was just so much fun seeing our team going into these deepest, darkest places in Ghana, in Cote d'Ivoire, and seeing the Lord break open the spirit realm so that his grace and his mercy and his love can be poured out, because he's got a plan and a purpose for these people. And so as I'm sitting under our tree at our land, every morning we had soaking. We'd set up the sound box. We'd lay out the plastic, and then our people would come, and they would, you know, from the Kingdom Bible School, they'd lay out, and every morning we would soak, and it's just sitting there looking at the beauty of God's creation and having his presence come. And the Lord was speaking to me that all of this all stems back to one young man who got saved at a drama site, crossing a path in Accra, Ghana, became the treasurer of Life Christian Center, and then that was a doorway open to the northern region of Ghana with Pastor Samuel, with us. And so being able to travel back to our land, the last time I was there was in 2000, I believe it was 12. So it was like, wow, this, a lot has changed. And it was so awesome to see our building there, to see the Kingdom Bible School area, like with the cement and the half wall. And it was just so amazing. And I mean, you guys saw in the video, one of the things I also enjoyed was drinking water from our deep, ultra deep well, because that's just such another blessing there. And seeing all of that, but realizing that God has a purpose and a plan and a destiny for these people. And that purpose and that destiny is to take the gospel of the kingdom to the nations. And he's raising them up there in that place to be a place of refreshing, to send them out. And so it was just incredible to sow back into that, see that firsthand, pray into that, see the people there receiving, knowing that the Lord's going to take these people and send them out. And so one of the things that we did, and one of the nights that we had wrapped up Kingdom Bible School for that day, and we were going to go to the village of Nyange. And for those of you that don't know, Nyange is a village that is very much known for witchcraft in all of Ghana. In fact, when we first went there, yes, there's Pastor Bill and Pastor Ray Pat in Nyange from, that's 2009. And for those of you that don't know, that's the year that Pastor Bill and Pastor Ray Pat got malaria. Pretty bad. And I don't believe that malaria just came from a mosquito bite. It came from the enemy. In fact, one of the things that came out of this attack of the enemy is Pastor Bill's song, "The Enemy Is Done." You guys know that song. So that song was literally birthed from this attack of the enemy against them through, you know, malaria and sickness. So in this village of Nyange, I remember the first time that we went there, Pastor Ray Pat preached an incredible, powerful gospel message that I've never heard since. And it was almost, it was sharing about the God of Elijah as compared to the other, you know, false gods. And really, who is the God of power? It's Jesus, the Messiah, the risen one who is here to save you. And seeing people come into the kingdom from that drama site, and then we'd go back year after year, perform the drama, share the gospel, preach Jesus into that place. And it had been some time, and through other circumstances that we can share later, we didn't have a presence there, but it was on our hearts this year. Okay, we're going back to this place to step back into land and territory that the Lord has released already. And the head witch doctor in that place, his name was Bolari. He has since passed away, and I believe that there was a result of that happening was because of prayer and intercession and deliverance, because of the attack of the enemy and witchcraft was so strong in that area. But the Lord coming in like a flood and just coming in and disrupting that whole dynamic. And so we set up the Jesus film. We went there, and the whole time it was just very interesting coming back into that place, being like, wow, Lord, you're going to do something tonight. We're trusting your spirit, because you have your heart for these people. Because where there's great darkness, you want to release great light. And so we showed the Jesus film, which is just a just amazing opportunity to just suck people into, here's Jesus in front of your eyes for like 60 minutes. You can't get away from him. And then after that, Pastor Mary Pat got up and just released this fiery message of salvation and call to everyone that was there, like, just straight out gospel, like pure, you got to respond to this. And it was so amazing to see just the synergy and the spirit of the Lord bringing people in. And so we have a video of some of that. And all these people that are coming, they had raised their hands to say yes, they want to give their lives to Jesus. So it was so awesome to see the Lord's heart for these people in this place of incredible darkness. They just all came out. I was up on a chair, you know, getting some video of it, and it was just amazing to see because there wasn't really many people left on the outside, very few. But they were all right there in the place, and I was just so amazed at the heart of the Lord that he's saying, no, these people here, my heart is for them, and I'm bringing them out of this darkness. And it was just such an incredible time to see the Lord's presence poured out, especially knowing that this is the very place that a lot of the attacks against them physically and in their health was coming from, this place. Like, so it's like, this is the place. So if this is the place, then we're going to step back in and trust the Lord of the harvest that he's going to release his presence here and bring the lost bride back in this place, because it's what the Lord has released for us. And so it was just so amazing to me saying, okay, no, this is kingdom ground. This is kingdom ground. This is kingdom ground. And one of the things that the Lord reminded me of on this trip is seeing the Ghanaians as these precious diamonds, these precious jewels. And a lot of times the way that diamonds are formed is they're formed deep under the earth under great pressure. You know, there's great pressure that actually forms diamonds. And the Lord was speaking to me that here in this place in northern Ghana, you've had generation after generation after generation of witchcraft and oppression, like pushing down, pushing down, pushing down, providing that pressure. But in a moment, the Lord's going to come in. He flips it. There are my diamonds. He brings them up, and they've got great value and great worth to go out and share the gospel from places that we can only imagine. Let's see. Yes. Yeah. So that was the other thing that as well, is that she prayed out, you know, if you're here and you're, you know, basically a strong deliverance call for malaria and witchcraft and leading all of these people that came forward, all those people that you said there, saw there, came forward, raising their hands to be healed of malaria, raising their hands to repent and renounce, like specifically renounce and walk away from witchcraft. Like, I'm done. Just kind of the similar thing that Audrey was talking about that first village in Cote d'Ivoire. It was the exact same scenario in the spirit. Like, we're done. We're finished with witchcraft. We're turning away from it. We're going this direction. And it was just such an amazing honor to see that, you know, happen and take place. And then afterward, you know, pray through and really believing that is a significant, what happened that day, we don't fully necessarily understand, but the Lord's revealing more of it, but it's a very, very significant, specific testimony of what the Lord's doing there in that place. And knowing as well that, you know, with all the things that the Lord's doing at our land, that he's going to use that place as a missionary sending hub and a place of hosting the presence of the Lord to see this whole entire northern region and area change and transform. So okay. Okay, so the if you guys want to bring that picture back up. Just for clarification, that picture there is from 2010, the year after they had both been attacked with malaria and almost died. This is the next year, 2010, them being back in the same place in Yaoundé, completely healed, completely restored. And it was also fun, on a quick side note, this trip to see the people from Cote d'Ivoire, but also Ghana, seeing Pastor Mary Pat healed from her leg. Because last year they were just carrying her around, but this year, you know, as Pastor Bill's words, he was kicking the enemy in the teeth. He just kept coming back to that. And seeing that as well with Pastor Ray Pat of, hey, this is where the enemy came and attacked, but we're back again to take more territory and kick the enemy in the teeth. So I love that because it's just the Lord smearing victory in the face of the enemy. Just saying, no matter what you're doing, I'm going to do this.
This picture from 2010 is a victory picture because we did go back and we did do another crusade. And several of us went into the village and invited Bilari to come and basically gave him a word and said, you need to come. This is basically life and death, saying it differently, but things won't be going well for you. You need to come. This is so serious. And he said he would come. He did not. And there were a lot of circumstances around that. And shortly after this mission in 2010, he just fell over and died. And so this year, while they were setting up for the video, the Jesus video, Pastor Samuel and Pastor Bill and I, and I think Josh was with us. Were you with us, Josh? Okay. We went in the back, and we were right in the middle of all the evil again that had been allowed to rise again for a lot of different reasons. And the tomb for Bilari was right to our left with steps going up and animals on the top that they still sacrifice. So he's dead, and his brother, who was like this with him in Juju, also left. But the remnants of all of this were still permitted for many to be part of. So us going back this time was very strategic, and we're trusting we'll be able to plant a church there and actually finish what the Lord called us to do, because we're alive and well. And we released great, great power that day in Nange, which was last week. So is somebody else finishing up about the project, the farm, the cashew farm? Okay. Pastor Bill, we're finishing up.
One of the things that came to my heart about this trip is we have to fight for unity. You fight for unity when you're on the team, always trying to keep the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace as you go as a team with all the pressures, all the different things that happen, the uncomfortable situations you're put in, like long drives and all of that. You fight for unity in the country that you're in, among the people that you work with that are supposed to be for the gospel, but oftentimes they have conflicting motives in working with you or working with each other. And so that happened on this trip a lot. And I learned that we need to step forward in our authority, that we don't just go over there as a team of people just, you know, we're going to do a little something in Africa. God has sent us, and when you pray anointing over us, we have to take that seriously. And we have to step forward into whatever country we're in, among the believers there, and set the example, set the pace, and let them know that Jesus has sent us, and we know it. And that's a little hard sometimes, because you feel like, well, am I really being humble with that? Acting like we are the sent ones to this country. But I've learned that we need to step into that role humbly, but we need to step into that role because it's the only way that what is supposed to be accomplished with the various partners that we have in whatever country it is, that's the only way that it will work. When Paul went into a place, he didn't go in as, you know, someone that was just a regular believer, so to speak. He was anointed for what he was doing. He knew he was on a mission. He knew he was an apostle. He knew that God had given it to him, that he was nothing and Jesus was everything, but he stepped into it. And if we think that we're not in the same position today, you know, maybe we don't have all the giftings that Paul had, but we are in the same position. We go and we are to do a mission for Jesus, and we are to set the pace. And it's a little bit hard at times. You'd like to say, that just seems like a little overboard, or isn't that the ugly American coming in? But it's the kingdom above what happens here on earth. And we have to take our authority in Jesus in order to defeat the enemy. So when you hear the testimonies of all that happened, this was a battle for unity in each place that we went. There were forces coming against the people before we got there, in Cote d'Ivoire and in Ghana. And some of the enemy had taken some toll. And yet God, when we were on the scene and we took authority and we stepped into the anointing as a team, the unity came. The Holy Spirit brought the unity. It wasn't us bringing the unity, but we had to step into our role. And it's the same way here in Frontline, that we step into that role and we call you all to a place of unity. And when you're in unity, it doesn't matter how many people are in the seats, we accomplish more for the kingdom than so many places that are much bigger in size. Why is that? Because people rally to what the Holy Spirit is doing, and we take our authority, we step into our anointing, and we know that it's all from God. We don't think it's from ourselves. We don't think we are suddenly somehow gifted to the point that we can do it without Jesus. So I just give you that today. You need to fight for unity. Whether it's here in this body, whether it's in the body of Christ in this area, there are battles going on for the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace with the Word of God being accepted as in the authority. There are churches meeting today in Massillon, Ohio, Jackson Township, this area, that do not believe any longer that the Word of God is the authority. They don't accept that. And so they believe things because of that, that are anti-biblical. And you start talking to people and you find out that that's very true. So we need to stand for unity around the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and step into our authority and into our anointing with humility, and amazing things happen. So the things that you see up here in the darkness being dispelled, and you know, some of these videos, you say, couldn't they get better quality? I mean, come on. Put a little light on the subject, will you, so we can see what's going on up there. These places are dark. Sometimes we're lighting things with a flashlight. And yet, people are coming forward to receive Jesus. They can see the light. They're like, you know, in a bad analogy maybe, but bugs coming to a light. I mean, they are. They're like, they come out of nowhere. We come into a village, there's nobody there. We're going, wow, I wonder how this outreach is going to go. Within 15 minutes, there's a crowd, and we're like, where did they come from? Who told them to come? We didn't even go out and ask. And they're there. And then they respond to the gospel because it is the light in that darkness. And it's just like incredible. There are people that their smile turns into a light bulb in that darkness because they've received Jesus and they've been, that witchcraft in them has been defeated. Healing has happened in their bodies. Although, you know, with Africans, they might say, yes, I'm healed. It's been a great experience being here tonight. I love everything about Jesus. This has been fun. Let's do it again. You know, that's just their demeanor. But inside, I know they're just like us. They're jumping up and down. They're, you know, woo, kicking the enemy in the teeth. Just like us. We take that by faith. So when we go to various leaders, which we had a group of them in a living room after we got there, we got a couple hours sleep, and here's this group of leaders leaning in with their questions. At first, you could be like, how's this going to work? They don't know us. We don't know them. We don't know who to trust here. They don't trust us. necessarily. How's this all going to work? And you step forward and you don't necessarily answer the questions they ask you. They said, so what is your program? And how do you want to go about it? And we said, we want to bring the presence of God into this place. We want to carry the presence of God into a Kingdom Bible School. And they said, oh, okay, that sounds like a good program. I mean, it didn't make any sense. You know, if we would have said, this is what we're going to teach. Oh, they said, what is your doctrine and what is your program? We're going to bring the presence of God and trust Him to teach us all in this place starting on Monday. Oh, that sounds pretty good to us. Yeah. You know, they wanted us to lay out something, give them a piece of paper. This is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to go through. This is the timing. What times of the day? You know, frontline times. It's like, you know, if we would have set a time for lunch mixed in with the African way of doing things as well, none of it would have worked. So we just said, presence of God. And they went, oh, that sounds good. Yeah, I think I can be there. I think I can bring some people. It made no sense. But that's what happens when we speak. You've prayed for us to have anointing. And it brings life to people. They will go to a different page. They'll go to Holy Spirit's page rather than the old ways of doing things. And then they'll be amazed. The pastor that the church that we were at in Cote d'Ivoire that hosted us, he should have dismissed us right out of hand. Instead, he was leaning forward into the presence of God the times he was there. He was on the floor receiving from God himself. He didn't need us there anymore. We just were the ones that kind of said, hey, we're here to give out the presence of God. And he stepped into it. I know he's forever changed. He came up and started playing the guitar. Just took a guitar, started playing it. He was just so excited. And he had looked so, I mean, he was a very classy looking guy. And he just looked like he was just going to be so stiff. And God got a hold of him. And it's because you're praying that we're anointed. You're praying that we step forward into the apostolic that we're called to do. Sounds a little crazy that we would actually step into that among strangers in the body of Christ. But I'm telling you, it worked. People that were in disarray before we got there and at odds with one another came to the table and we all worked together. And then you end up with a chief in a village getting healing, salvation. His whole village has changed forevermore. Out in the middle of the sticks. It's just incredible. Incredible that your support back here for us there made a huge difference. So when they say light going into the darkness, you go, yeah, light going into the dark. No, it's a battle for light to go into the darkness. Here or there. And it worked. The unity came, both in Cote d'Ivoire and in Ghana. We had to fight for it, and it was there for the taking because Holy Spirit wanted it so bad for Christians to work together, for people from different continents, different languages, different people groups to all work together for the gospel to go out into the villages and the Kingdom Bible Schools to change lives, that they will take it even farther. You know, we can go village by village by village, and it's a blast to go back to Nyange and kick the enemy in the teeth again after what the enemy tried to do to us from a representative from that village. But we can do that, and it's a blast. But if we just did that and didn't do Kingdom Bible School, the gospel wouldn't go as far. Because the Kingdom Bible School students have took it into Cote d'Ivoire first. They were the first ones to take it across the water into the next country. Because we taught them in Kingdom Bible School, go. And they went. They listened. And so, please realize how much your prayer supported us over there, and we know it. Because I stepped in with a chief in Ghana. He's a new chief in our area. He's over our land. He can take our land just like that. Just take it away from us. It doesn't matter if there's buildings on it, if there's if there's anything on the land that we've developed, he can just take it. He's a new chief. The old chief is the shorter guy. And, you know, he claims to be a Christian, although when I showed up to talk with him, he had a lot of liquor on his breath. But anyway, he claims to be a Christian. Oh, I'm a Christian. I'm not a Muslim. And, oh, you know, you need to do this and you need to do that. And he's giving me advice and everything. And I had asked the Lord before I met with these gentlemen. It's just like, okay, it's time to go see the chief. Okay. And I'm like, God, use yourself in me to change what these guys think they're going to do against us. Use what's in me somehow. I don't even know what that's going to look like. But show yourself strong through me so they don't try to put the intimidation on us. Because they could ask for all kinds of money. They could ask for different arrangement. They could redo the paperwork. They could take the land away at any moment. And the guy that's taller there has already done it to others. And so I'm getting advice, be careful, be careful, be careful from our Ghanaian contacts. Be careful. And I'm saying, God, I could say something really wrong without the leading of the Holy Spirit, so help me here. And help me stand in what we've seen in Cote d'Ivoire. How you took various groups that were in disarray and brought them into unity. Somehow, let me be the one that's intimidating. And so when I met with this guy, he looked at me, and I could just see him lower himself. He's a very tall guy. I'm a short guy. The older gentleman, you know, he still needs to learn about humility, I think. And I thought he was the humble one. I had heard about the tall gentleman, how he was sharp. He was going to take our land away if we're not careful, blah, 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 blah. He was actually the one that was rather humble towards me, and he ended up asking for a Bible. And so meeting with these two, the guy that's the shorter one, afterwards he comes up and he says, hey, you need to call Pastor Samuel. Have him call me. I said, why? Because I want you to give me a tractor. This is after the meeting with these two guys. Now, the taller gentleman wouldn't like that because he's the chief. The other guy's the old chief. He wouldn't like that. So that's why he did it after the meeting. So I just stood there, and Pastor Samuel came in and said, oh, we've got to go. We've got to go, you know, got to take off. Because if you give any indication at all that you're going to give into that request. And he's talking a full tractor. He's not even the chief. But the real chief, he's saying, what's in this bag? Oh, you brought me something? Wow, what is this? I said, it's a speaker. Whoa, from America. You could just see it from America. He's a young guy. I said, how's your health? Oh, thank you for asking. My health is good. And his wife comes in, goes on her knees to receive the present from us that we got her. She's like, what? You got a present for someone other than the chief? And so he's building a new palace. So I commented on his door here. The Lord just pointed out this door. I said, that's a really, really nice door. And he just thought that was just awesome. Someone from America likes his door. And I said, you know, that I might come to that door and bang on that door so that we can get to know each other better. And he just was like, okay. So you could just see the Lord humbling him right in the situation. And I just thought, all the things I'd heard about this guy, that he was going to try to put the moves on and ask for something and ask for money and maybe threaten to take our land away or whatever, none of that materialized because the Lord's presence came into the room and put him on notice. You better be careful. You better be careful, chief. So, you know, I'm telling you that your prayer for us makes a huge difference. It's not that we're trying to come in and intimidate a chief, but we don't want him to intimidate the kingdom. The kingdom's higher, the kingdom's more powerful, and all of these chiefs over the years have been won over to the fact that they better be careful about trying to take land away from God. And so they see the future. We should have developed the land in their minds a long time ago, but they see the future. God helps them see the future. I better stay in relationship with these people and not cut it off by taking their land. And so I just think God is the only one that's able to do that. I'm not smart enough to figure all that out, but I know one thing, that his presence was in that room when I was with those chiefs. And the one guy got it, and the other guy's still on his way, but he's not chief. So, you know, we don't worry too much about him. But pray for the guy in the middle. I don't know what his name is. It's a pretty complicated name, so I haven't gotten that down yet, but I'd call him Chief Sola right now because that's where he's from and the little area that he's over. There are other chiefs we have to deal with, but right now they're not, you know, trying to take our land away or anything like that. Apparently, this chief is willing to help us get our paperwork finalized. Not that that's any guarantee, but the last chief was not able to get that done for us, and this guy may take a role in that. So pray for that. And honestly, pray for this chief, because the first chief we dealt with, as you know, he came to know the Lord, had many healings over the years, and eventually gave up his desire to be a Muslim and received the Lord right from a phone call in this building. So we weren't even on site, and he received the Lord on the phone. And we asked him like 10 times, "Are you sure?" Because we dealt with him over many years. And he had always said, "No, I don't want to receive the Lord, but I want to see your drama. I don't want to receive the Lord, but could you pray for me for healing?" And then he would get healed, and he'd be like, "Huh, I better have them come to the palace again." He was the guy with, I think, with the mud palace. It was just this great big mud palace. Always used to like to go there because it was like going back 10 centuries. Walk in there. Wow, this is the mud palace. So, Father, we just thank you, God, that you are able to bring unity here, over there. We have to fight for it, Lord, and you're the one that can bring it and give us the spirit of unity and the bond of peace, Father, if we're willing to fight for it. And Father, that means that we're not going to come against it, Jesus, with our words, with our actions. We're going to love like we heard in the messages for 3 weeks about how to love, learning how to love supernaturally. God, may we step into that more and more and more and sacrificially love one another for the unity to be entrenched here. Not disunity, not disarray, Father, not people going in different directions as far as the vision of what you have for Frontline Ministries International. God, we thank you that you brought that unity in Africa. And so many times it looked like it was going to fall apart.
If you need any additional information about Frontline Ministries International or Frontline Worship Center, you can visit us on the web at www.frontline-ministries.org or email us at info@frontline-ministries.org. Or you can contact us by phone at area code 330-837-8399.